Okay, once again, Psalm 23. We've finally arrived at verse 6 this morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've been looking at the 23rd Psalm has a life to live. It ought to be very descriptive of our life. And looking at it that way, coming to verse 6, we see it as a life of blessed assurance and anticipation. The Christian life is not a life of dread. It's not a life of fear. It's not a life of gloom. It's not a life of doubt. It's a life of blessed assurance and anticipation. There ought not be a more confident people in all the world than the Lord's people. Our confidence, of course, is in the Lord. Now, the psalm opens with a very positive, a very wonderful declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. And as we've said many times throughout this series, that's the foundation of the psalm. Everything goes back to that statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Really goes back to the Lord is. The Lord is. Everything that has to be our foundation, the Lord is. And then, of course, that ought to be relative to us. There ought to be a personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. But the Lord is my shepherd is not only the foundation of the psalm, it's the foundation of the Psalm 23 life. If that statement is not so, the Lord is my shepherd. The statement is always so, the Lord is. No matter what your relationship with the Lord is, that statement, the Lord is always so. But the Lord is my shepherd. That's not true of everyone. Not everyone can say that in honesty. And in order to really get a grasp on what the psalmist is talking about, this has to be true. The Lord is my shepherd. In order to see the real beauty of the psalm, this has to be true. The Lord is my shepherd. In order to live this life, this has to be true. The Lord is my shepherd. And as you read this psalm, you feel it as you read. You can hear, you can feel the excitement in the psalmist's writing, the wonder, the confidence of everything he writes in this 23rd Psalm. You sense the wonder and the confidence and the excitement. And you sense as you read the psalm that it's building. It's building. It's coming to a climax. And in verse 6, really the end of verse 5, my cup runneth over. And then into verse 6, surely it's reached its pinnacle. So it starts off, the Lord is my shepherd. And it just seems to grow from there. And here in verse 6, again, it's David's concluding observation. Because of everything else I have written, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it's his concluding observation. It's basically the summary of the psalm. As David gazes over the panorama of his life with the Lord as a shepherd, he what does he see? He sees God. And if we're living our life right, if we look over our life as a whole, we'll see God. We see God in every part of it. in every aspect of our life. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He sees God. In verse 6, it's like he's recollecting everything he's written up to this point, and this is the conclusion. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, the starting point is the Lord is my shepherd. That establishes the subject of the psalm. That establishes the subject of the life of the 23rd psalm. Life has to have a subject. And David is saying the subject of my life is the Lord, that he is my shepherd. So it starts with a supreme object. Life must have an object. Life must have a supreme object. And every life does. It's the subject and the object of our life is what dominates us. It's what controls us. It's the dominating and controlling factor of life. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's where it starts. That's where it must start. And it leads into all these other, to everything else he says. And eventually it leads into verse 6, what we've read there. So there is a living connection between the psalmist and the Lord who is. And again, that leads into verse 6. But all through the psalm, David is focused upon this: the Lord is my shepherd. That's his focus. That's what he's drawing from. Every single verse he's drawing from that fact. The Lord is my shepherd. Whatever the subject of our life is, that's what we draw from. That's what we draw from for our life. And this is what David is drawing from. The Lord is my shepherd. It's what he's drawing from. It's what he's living upon. This is the basis of his life. The Lord is my shepherd. And again, it's what leads into verse 6. So David writes this psalm. And what he's doing is he's viewing his life with the Lord as a shepherd. And as we saw at the very beginning of this series, the range of this psalm is all the days of my life. Doesn't matter what the day is. It doesn't change the Lord is my shepherd. Doesn't change it. All the days of my life. This isn't just every now and then. This covers all the days of his life. And he's viewing that life, even when David failed, and he failed many times. The Bible gives us records of many of David's failings, but it never changed this fact, the Lord is. Never really changed the fact, the Lord is my shepherd, though David at times didn't apply it to his life. It was still so. The Lord is my shepherd. So he looks at his life. He sees the Lord as a shepherd. He looks at his future. He began doing that in verse 4. He began looking at his future. And his life and his future is based upon the Lord is my shepherd. His past. Everything is based upon that. And he concludes with awe and wonder here in verse 6. So we want to consider this subject of assurance. And we want to see the assurance of the psalmist. We want to see next couple of weeks the subject in the Bible, assurance. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful characteristic of a child of God. Many who claim to have it, I guarantee you they don't. But it is something that we ought to have. First of all, we see the whole tone of the psalm is one of assurance. Now there are three statements or three words that we see in this sixth verse that show us that the tone is one of assurance. We see that word surely. Surely. That's a word of confidence. It's a word of assurance. The next word that we see is the word shall. Shall. That's a word of confidence. And then the next would be I will, there in verse 6. So we see surely, shall, I will in verse 6. Those three words mean assuredly, without question, without question. We as God's people have many questions. But when it comes to who the Lord is, it should be without question that He is. That He is. We don't understand everything about Him, and we'd like greater understanding. We ask questions. But we don't question who He is. That's without question. That's assurance. It means certainly. Most definitely. And again, this covers all the days of my life. Surely. Shall. I will. Without doubt. Without fail. It's inevitable. The Lord is my shepherd. No question. The Lord is, no question. So these are words that express great confidence. And all through the psalm, we hear this tone of absolute certainty. It is something that we hear. It is something that we feel after each statement of the psalm. There's several statements that are made in the psalm. And after each statement, again, you hear and feel this confidence, this assurance, without question, it is so. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You hear and you feel the assurance of that statement. It's not, "I hope the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord might be my shepherd." The Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. He may not be someone else's, but with absolute assurance, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We need to know that all the days of our life. We need to know that through all circumstances. We need to know that in every time we fail. The Lord is my shepherd. Why do we need to know that? Because that tells us where to go. If we fail, and we do, and we fail all the days of our life, by the way. But when we have this assurance, "The Lord is my shepherd," we know that when I fail, that's where I need to go. That's where I need to go. That's the only way to correct it. Whatever error, whatever sin we've committed or made, the only way to correct it is, "The Lord is my shepherd," to get back there. So it gives direction in our life. "The Lord is my shepherd." He goes on, "Based upon the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And again, we've looked at all of these statements up to this point. Most take that to mean "I shall not lack," and no doubt it does mean that. But I believe it means something else that very few people consider. "I shall want no other." The Lord is my shepherd. It is true, I shall not lack because of that. But I don't want any other. So it gives us, again, direction in our life. But notice when he says, "I shall not want," you hear and you feel the assurance. "I shall not want." He goes on to say, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You see the assurance about that. He's done it in the past. He maketh. He continues to do so. And because I know the Lord is my shepherd, I have confidence. I have confidence that there are green pastures. I have confidence that He knows where they are. And I have confidence that He makes me lay down in those green pastures. There are times, again, He maketh me. Let's be honest, there are times where we don't want anything to do with the green pastures. We're foolish. And He makes us. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. So again, you hear and you feel the assurance of those words. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, it all goes back. The Lord is and He. The Lord is and He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me. It's He first. He's the subject. He's the object. We have assurance that there are still waters. We have the assurance that the Lord knows where they are. We have the assurance that He leads us beside the still waters. Not only that, we have the assurance that He can turn raging waters into still waters. We have that assurance. We see Jesus doing that on several different occasions in the Gospels. He restoreth my soul. Right there is the implication of failure. There's the implication that based upon our life many times, we will lose things. But He restoreth. So when we do fail, the Lord is my shepherd. It tells us where to go. It tells us where to go for restoring. But again, there's assurance there. He restoreth. And again, that's present tense. It's not He restored, though that's true. He shall restore, that's true also. But it's present tense. He restoreth. He just keeps on. He just keeps on restoring. And the psalmist has this assurance. Again, that gives you direction in life. If you know, if you have assurance that the Lord is the one who restores your soul, when your soul needs restoring, where do you go? You go to Him. If you have that assurance. If you know for certain, He's the one who can restore my soul. The Lord, the world's not going to restore my soul. The Lord is. Your lost acquaintances are not going to restore your soul. It's not going to happen. He restoreth my soul. We need that assurance. And again, every one of these statements is made with great assurance. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There are paths of righteousness, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are, there is a right path. And He, our shepherd, knows where they are, and He leads us in that. And He does so for why? For His own glory. He does so for His name's sake. He does so for us as well, but the primary reason is for His own glory. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's assurance. You can say that if you put into practice, the Lord is my shepherd. You can't say that if you do not put into practice, the Lord is my shepherd. And we're there again, we just as a review, we saw that the shadow of death really is means several things. It's kind of an overview of life in this world. There is a sense in which we walk through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And of course, it could apply to the hour of death, no doubt. No doubt the child of God passes through a valley that you and I know nothing about until we get there. At the time of our dying. He says, I'll fear no evil. That is, there's no reason to fear. because the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to understand all that's going on. All I have to get a hold of is the Lord is my shepherd. And he goes on, he says, I'll fear no evil, and he gives the reason, for thou art with me. And there's assurance there, thou art with me. I know you're with me. And there's a peace, there's an assurance that comes with the presence of the Lord. With the presence of the Lord. Now, we know God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. But we also know there's a special presence of God. There's a presence that God's people experience that lost man does not experience. No, there's no question about that. And it's one thing to know, and sometimes we can feel the presence of the Lord. You can just feel it. Just as if someone was standing right next to you, it's that real. And that's wonderful. There are times when we do not feel that presence. In those times, we have to know that He's there. We have to know that. We may not feel it at the present moment, but we know He's there. There are times when we feel the presence of evil more than we do the presence of the Lord. And in those times, we have to know, Thou art with me. I may not feel it right now, but I know He's here. That's assurance. And we need to live our lives with that assurance. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, of course, the implication is that God's people need comfort, which means there's going to be trials. But we have this assurance. My comfort's not in the world. God can use the world. There's no question about that. I'm not saying that you will find absolutely no comfort in the world. I'm not saying that at all. But that's not where comfort is. Our comfort is in the Lord. The Lord can use whatever He wants to comfort us. And we see He uses His rod, chastisement. We see, again, without reviewing everything, we see the rod was used for many things. So was the staff. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. What a wonderful statement. Thou preparest the table before me. That is, it's right there. It's right there. It's before me. The enemies are there, but that table is right there. I believe that's always so. I don't always see the table. I may be completely ignorant of the table. But we need the assurance. It is there. And if I have the assurance that it's there, if I have any wisdom, as Brother Kevin just talked about, I'm going to look for that table. I'm going to ask God to lead me to that table. Thou preparest a table before me. And if God prepares it before us, I believe that is saying He doesn't hide it. He doesn't hide it. He prepares it right before us. Sometimes we don't see it, but that's our own doing. Many times. Thou anointest my head with oil. All of these statements are made with assurance and confidence. It's pride when we have assurance in ourselves. That's pride. We've crossed the line then. But assurance in God is a good thing. The Bible is a book of assurance. All through the Bible, the tone is one of assurance. It's one of confidence. And our confidence needs to be in God. Don't get mad. Don't get upset when someone tells you what you need to do is trust God. Now, I realize people say that all the time in a very flippant way. I understand that. But what they've said is true. They may not practice it. and they may be flippant, but that is true. You can't deny that. We need to trust the Lord. We need to have confidence in the Lord. So he makes all of these statements, and then he comes to the conclusion in verse 6. Surely, after recollecting all of these things in my life, he says, surely, goodness and mercy shall, future tense, follow me all the days of my life. And as he says that, his cup is overflowing. We see that in verse 5. And it is overflowing with a God-based assurance. And our assurance must be God-based. Because the Lord is, we have assurance. Because the Lord is, we have confidence. And that brings us to what is biblical assurance? I mean, where's that line where we cross over where it now becomes pride? Well, the line is the object. The line is the subject. The line is the foundation of your confidence. That's the line. It's who is the object of your confidence. If your job is the object of your confidence, you've placed your confidence in the wrong thing. If family or circumstances are your confidence, you've misplaced. If your abilities are your confidence, that's pride. All of those is a misplacement of assurance or the wrong object of assurance. It's got to be the Lord. And the Bible does tell us over and over just what is biblical assurance. And I believe it's something that every child of God ought to have. 1 John makes it very clear that if we live in sin, we don't have that assurance. And I've had this discussion with many, many people, and you probably have too. They're living like the devil. They've lived like the devil for years. And they will sit there and say, I absolutely know. I am 100% certain that I'm saved. I'm sorry. I don't believe you can know that in that condition. You should, but what are you basing it on? You're certainly not basing it on the fruit. Living right gives us assurance. Doing what God tells us to do gives us some assurance. Now, I realize the devil can also use that and turn it into false assurance. I realize that also. But there is such a thing as biblical assurance, and we'll look at that next week. But we ought to rejoice today that there is such a thing as living life with assurance. I don't know what's going to happen as far as a lot of circumstances, but we know who the Lord is. And we know the Lord's in control. And we know that He works all things according to His will. And we know that we know Him. And we know that He knows us. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful way to live life. You and I do not live a hope-so life. We are to live a life of assurance, a life of confidence. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, again for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for this 23rd Psalm. We thank You, Lord, that it's not just poetry. We thank You that it can be our life, and we thank You, Lord, that most of us here today have this fact in our life that You are our shepherd, and we pray, Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to live our lives based upon that simple fact that You are our shepherd. We do pray, Lord, that You'd help us to worship You in a way that would bring honor and glory to Your name. And Lord, we pray for the lost. Lord, speak to them today. Lord, would You save their souls? For each one of us, Lord, that You just draw us closer to Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.